Republicans step up with a new plan to replace Obamacare. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. House Republicans are out with a long-awaited bill to replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Marketplace healthcare reporter Dan Gorenstein is in Washington following this. Dan, what is in this proposal?
So in some ways, this bill resembles Obamacare, but make no mistake here, it's a conservative plan and has different winners and losers. First, this new plan kills the mandate that people buy insurance or face a penalty. The stick Republicans propose using to make sure people get insurance is that insurers could charge 30% more in premiums to anyone who's allowed their insurance to lapse. The plan does keep the popular provision that lets people stay on their parents' plan until 26. There are no lifetime coverage caps, and insurers cannot deny coverage to people with pre-existing conditions.
Obamacare also made changes to Medicaid, the health program for low-income Americans. What does this bill change there?
Well, in some ways, that's where you see the biggest changes, Mark. First, the bill would allow the 31 states that expanded Medicaid to keep enrolling people until January 1st, 2020. These are people who earn above the poverty line, so an individual who makes about $16,000 a year. Lots of conservatives hate this part of the Affordable Care Act, but the expansion has led to 11 million more people on insurance. States that haven't expanded yet could also choose to do so, and the federal government will cover nearly all the costs.
Now, Dan, this is an early proposal. A lot of things can happen before it actually becomes law. But if this goes as it is right now, who are the winners and losers potentially?
Generally speaking, this is a plan for the younger and the wealthier. Look, under the Republican plan, people get $2,000 to $4,000 to help buy coverage. A helpful chart put out last night by the Kaiser Family Foundation shows the U.S. average credit under Obamacare for a 60-year-old is about $6,700. Under the American Health Care Act, this Republican plan, it's $4,000. There's a lot of concern already that the tax credits in this plan are too skimpy and could increase the uninsured rate by millions. Then you've got other changes to Medicaid. Ultimately, the federal government caps how much money it will contribute. This plan, if it passes, would certainly lead a deep cut to that program.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, based at our health desk at WHYY. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. Small gains in the UK and Germany, with shares up about a 10%. Asian markets closed mostly higher. A first-of-its-kind class-action lawsuit will test whether detained immigrants can be forced to work as so-called volunteers for as little as a dollar an hour. The case centers on a detention facility run by the GEO Group, a big private prison operator. Sally Herships reports.
People may assume that an immigrant who's held in detention is subject to the same law as a prisoner convicted of a crime. And
that's absolutely not the case.
Jacqueline Stevens is director of Northwestern University's Deportation Research Clinic. She says prisoners can be forced to work, but when it comes to detainees, just see the 13th Amendment.
The main issue is that no one who's being held without being convicted for a crime can be subjected to forced labor.
For-profit corrections company GEO Group refutes the allegations of wrongdoing. It says the federal government sets rates and wages in detention centers. David Leopold is past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. He says private prison companies like GEO Group save money by using cheap or free detainee labor.
Why is that? And I think we see that there's a real profit motive here.
The case began with 9 detainees. It'll move forward, representing as many as 60,000 plaintiffs. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
The best investment plan for most people is not picking individual stocks, but a broad mix of low-cost index funds. But some want to invest in companies that match up with their beliefs, such as environmental or social concerns. And now, a new set of funds aims for people with strong religious views. Liz Moyer wrote about this recently in the New York Times. Good morning, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to talk about ETFs. So just a quick reminder, ETF, exchange-traded funds, this is basically a way to invest in a lot of companies at once. Most people use them to invest in something big and broad, like the S&P 500 index, something like that. But you can also get very specific. And the ETFs you're looking at are companies that match up with what the fund calls biblical value. So what does that mean?
Yeah, so what this fund manager is doing is taking the index, like the S&P or, you know, another broad index, and taking out companies that don't track what he calls biblical values, which means these are companies engaged in, say, pornography, or these are companies that sell alcohol or tobacco or firearms. This particular company is also screening out companies that are very vocal about lesbian, gay, transgender issues.
And so in your report, you talk about how the fund rules out some companies that have been very good investments over the years.
Right.
I mean, we have Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, Apple, Amazon. What are some of the so-called biblically responsible companies that are actually in the tent?
Well, like, for example, there's Tesla Motors. He singled out Under Armour, the athletic apparel maker. But there are other smaller companies that, you know, they're not international. They don't have sprawling operations that you can't keep tabs on. So they're a little easier to screen out for purity's sake.
And how do they do this screening? I mean, it seems like some of this is more about not doing certain things and doing positive things that are
right.
Quote, biblically responsible in their view. Like, how does it work?
They also look for companies that give a lot of resources to charitable endeavors, companies that are engaged in ecology and, like, the earth. So, it's not just a negative. There is a positive screen as well.
Okay, Liz Moyer from The New York Times. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Charlton Thorpe, and I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.